Log Talk Radio.
I stroll through the pictures, what I've left behind. You once again, I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know just what you have done.
Hello and good evening, and welcome to the NASCA Stop Child Abuse Now Scan Blog Talk Radio Show. NASCA stands for the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. We want to let people know there's a trigger warning that we may be discussing triggering or upsetting content regarding child abuse and child sexual abuse. If you are triggered and need assistance, please take care of yourself and seek help if needed. So welcome. My name is Victoria Kelly, and I am your host for this evening. Today is, I'm so messed up, Thursday, April 11th, and we are on scan number 3406. And I'm excited to introduce to you our special guest this evening, returning guests. However, first, we have a single purpose at NASCA, which is to address issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect, and we do so with only two goals. One, educating the public, especially as related to helping society get over its taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse, presenting facts showing child abuse to be a pandemic worldwide problem that affects everyone, and two, offering hope and healing through numerous paths, providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse and information for anyone interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. And again, we are on scan number 3406. And if you'd like to be part of the panel this evening or any other evening, please call 646-595-2118, and I will meet you on the back line and see if you'd like to ask a question or have anything to say. Love to have you join us and support our guests. You can access any of our past shows by going to www.nasca, which is NAASCA.org, and searching for the scan number of the show you wish to access. And you can also find many other shows there. Now, our special guest this evening is Pastor Deborah, and she grew up all over the world in military families, where her mother was mentally ill and is now a survivor professional living in Pensacola, Florida. She's trained in ministry, mental health, and working with substance abuse, and is a trauma-informed social worker, all in one. She volunteers with many community organizations. Pastor Deborah says, she can minister by text, phone, Skype, in person, and however the Lord directs her to, 24/7. She teaches that humans have three parts, being of spirit, soul, and the physical body, and believes that all three are important, and that each area needs care. We look forward to Pastor Deborah as being an active member of NASCA family for a long time, and we welcome questions or comments on these episodes, and we'd like to get started. Pastor Deborah, how you doing? Can you hear me? Hello? Pastor Deborah? Hello? Oh, boy. I really don't know what's going on. Well, I somehow lost her call. She got back to Victoria Kelly. I think she called back in here. Let's see if we can get her on.
Hello.
Hello, Pastor Deborah. Hi. Welcome back to the show.
Somehow it happens.
Yeah.
I get muted, and I just call right back. So I guess we're here now, right?
We are surely here, and we have somebody that called in, too. And
okay.
So we usually come at a topic, and I introduced you, and thanks for returning to the show, as you always do, and we really appreciate it.
Okay. Did you say we had somebody on the line?
Yeah, and we're on scan number 3406. Yes, his name is Vinny, and I'm not sure if he wants to talk or anything, but he's for sure here listening.
Okay, hello. Vinny or Benny?
Vinny with a V, like Vincent, but
V.
Vinny.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well.
I can open his mic so you guys could say hi.
Okay, you can do that. Hi, Vinny.
Vinny, are you there?
Hello.
Hello, Vinny.
Hello.
I can hear him, Victoria. Can you?
Yeah, I can hear him. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, he can.
So I was telling Vinny a bit about you, not like your whole deal, because you got too much of a deal to tell in a little while. But he thought it'd be really interesting to come on the show and hear about and what you would have to say. And then also, I know a lot of times you come on with the topic. So.
Yeah, I got it. I have a topic tonight. It's real good.
Okay.
It's called Breaking the Curses of Abuse.
Okay.
When I was in mental health counseling.
One thing before you go on. Vinny is my roommate, so that's why I was kind of reluctant to say, you know, because he was going to call in. But if he has any questions or anything, he'll let me know, and then I can let you know, okay?
All right.
Okay, hon, thanks. Okay.
All right. What I wanted to talk about or teach on was something I had to learn when I was moving from being a mental health counselor to a pastor, and it was about curses. In mental health counseling, you don't hear much about the word curses. You hear depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress, trauma, suicide, anxious, irritability, maybe if you had training, multiple personalities. But when I stepped into helping people from a spiritual side, one of the first things I had to learn was about curses. And in the spiritual context of helping people, I didn't know what that meant. But what it turned out to be is that when abuse happens to a child, usually words are spoken, events take place, and these things bring what we will call in spirituality bad stuff to us, evil stuff, things that stay with us for pretty much a lifetime. Sometimes we end up cursing ourselves, which means we don't bless ourselves. We don't say good things to ourselves. We live in fear and torment. So how I had to learn how to break these curses, which sometimes were just words said to the child. Sometimes they were looks. And people that work in the spiritual realm and in the mental health world, they realize that you can pass on a lot of your feelings, your ideas, your concepts, your beliefs about relationships to the next generation. If you get abused as a child and you really don't get a lot of help or healing, you have a lot of stuff going on the inside of you. So when you become an adult, and if you do get married and you have children or you have family members, a lot of that bad stuff, bad words, we'll say that environment or spiritual, would say there's a sort of like an energy force or some kind of aurora or something around you that's negative. And, you know, you could just stand next to somebody and you feel kind of weird. And I had to learn in helping people from a pastoral side that these things were real. And what we learned how to do was to learn, if we could, from the person we were doing ministry with, what words were spoken to them as a child. And they may not remember. Sometimes children are told, you know, don't tell anybody. This is our secret. Or they might hear, I love you. You know, and they hear words, maybe just a shh, shh, be quiet. Okay? And so what happens is all of that gets stored in our memory in form of neurochemical electrical signals. And what happens is they stay there. And when they get triggered or through many different ways, they sort of come alive again. So I had to learn what curses were and how to break them, destroy them in a person's life. And this was so much different than the mental health counseling way. And I'll stop right there and see Victoria or Vinny or if anybody else wants to make a comment or ask a question.
I have one quick comment, then we'll go to Vinny. But, you know, I heard the I love you a lot from, like, my grandparents. But then there were other things that, like, were happening, like we had to take you and no one else wanted you and just you're in the way all the time and this and that. And so you can be saying one thing, but you can be coming across with your actions and behaviors and stuff as something
correct.
Else, too. And it's really mixed messages and gets very confusing. I just want to
correct.
Mention that. Right. When you said I love you, it just brought up a whole bunch for me. But, yeah, let's ask Vinny if he's got any comments.
Okay.
Vinny? Vinny, you're on.
Is this? Can you hear me?
Yep. You're on the radio.
Is this along the lines of spiritual warfare as well?
Say again, Mr. Vinny.
Is this along the lines of spiritual warfare as well?
Yes, sir, it is. Another word for it might be deliverance. These were different words that I had to learn and how to help somebody who had been traumatized as a child through abuse of all kinds. I got thrown into the most severest. If you ever study abuse, there's different levels, okay? I got thrown into the worst of the worst of the worst, multi-generational, more severe than anybody could ever imagine. And along with that was deep spiritual stuff that in mental health counseling, like I said, even the word curse or being blessed was never taught. I had to learn a whole new language and about blessings versus curses in somebody's life. Now, mental health counseling, when you go there, they know something's not right. They don't use that term, curse. They might use genetics. They might, oh, your dad was depressed, and you might have a genetic gene, therefore you could have depression. They do know in mental health counseling that behaviors, attitudes, culture, tradition, religion, sexual issues do travel through the generations. Well, this is what our family's always done. This is the way it's always been. So get over it, you know, that kind of thing. So it was a different language that I had to learn, but it was still helping people to get healed from events, because I was working with both children in ministry, teenagers, and adults, all of, you know, versus mental health counseling. Typically, your normal mental health counselor works with adults. And these terms, you know, it was so totally different. And how you address them to help bring healing, and how to, what in spiritual work we'd call it deliverance work, healing, freedom, where in mental health it would be called maybe just getting healed, having some resolutions. But I just wanted to bring this topic up. So if people do choose to go into to get help, that there is the mental health way and there is a spiritual way. And you can do both, or you can do one or the other. Did that help you, mm-hmm. Vinny?
Sure, I'm listening.
You want to make,
I'm listening.
Well, I kind of wanted to discuss something. First of all, for people that don't know, this month is Child Abuse Awareness and Prevention Month, and also Sexual Assault Awareness and Prevention Month. And there's just not, you know, everybody said, oh, it's talked about everywhere, it's everywhere, it's everywhere. But in my opinion, it's really not everywhere. It's some people are speaking out, and many others are still in silence. And so I'm really glad that you're coming on and talking about this, because I've had, just by saying what month it is, I've had so many people just this month talking to me and telling me, you know, some stuff about their stories and stuff. And, you know, a lot of people know my story and they'll say, well, mine's not as bad as yours. And so I'm not even going to try to compare. And, you know, I'm like, there's no comparing, you know, abuse was abuse and none of it should have ever happened. And, but anyway, a lot of people know my story. I'm not getting into it, but my biological father was into, like, if people don't know what it is, but I think a lot of people do, S&M, sadomasochism and torture and all that stuff, mm-hmm. you know. And, like, I was never angry at him. I never wanted to get back at him. I never wanted anyone to get back at him or anything. I really always just wanted it to stop, you know. I couldn't really, like, figure out why his brain was so messed up. And, you know, everybody's like, he's going to hell. Don't worry about it. He's going to hell, or went to hell because he died recently, you know. And see, my thing never was about that. My thing was, I hope that after he dies, he goes somewhere that he can be enlightened to what happened to him. You know, because I know that he was abused as a child. And that's no excuse for abusing anyone. But I know that he was abused, and you're talking about generational abuse, and that's why I'm bringing it up. You know, because I don't know that, you know, I always say I've never forgiven him, but, you know, I've never really, I don't know if that word just tricks me up or something, but I have never ever felt like I want to get back at him or I want to do anything horrible about him. I just want to tell my story about what happened to me. But I spent many, many years trying to figure out why he did what he did. And you know what? Mm-hmm. That kept me stuck. That kept me so stuck.
Right.
When I finally realized it didn't matter, you know, what was going on in his mind, why he did these things, this is what he did, this is how I reacted, and how can I get better, you know?
Right.
And my brother found out later on, years later, and he wanted to go kill him. And I said, what good would that do? Wouldn't take away the abuse that happened to me. My effects would still be there. On top of that, I would feel responsible if you killed him and you ended up in jail, you know?
Right.
And I don't know. I just, you know, people say, oh, if anybody did that to my kid, I'd kill him, you know? And I'm like, well, then your kid ain't going to have nobody to watch over. I don't know. If my mind is thinking,
well, let me bring up the topic.
Whatever. No.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the things that abused people seem to want to do is find out the answer to why did this happen?
Yeah.
Why did you do that? In mental health counseling and pastoral work, we know why we get studied, okay? Mm-hmm. In the mental health world, they would say he's got some issues himself. He was brought up in a family that did that. He might have some genetic depression, some inward hate, okay? We already know that as the sort of healer. Pastoral ministry, spiritual work, I already know what's going on. So I don't waste my time asking why. Okay? If you go to
or
the
even a lot of facts either, right? You mentioned one other time or even a lot of you mentioned one time other
I don't
as
need
well,
to know. I already
even
know
a lot of facts. Yep.
Okay. If you go to the emergency room, okay, and you come in with a gunshot, the emergency room doctors say gunshot. They don't care if you've been in a fight, you did it yourself. That's not their concern. Their concern is to deal with the gunshot and let other people, you know, police or somebody, deal with the why. So, but a lot of people that have been abused want to know why. And a lot of times the mental, if you go into, we'll say peer-to-peer support, they don't have the answers to why. If you go to mental health counselors, they might tell you, well, your father had been abused or your mother had been abused or she was frightened that she would get left or she was afraid to say anything and this is, okay, sort of answers it, but it's not the answer that the abused child is looking for. They want to know, why did my father, who's supposed to love me, do this to me?
See, that wasn't even my concern, though. The thing that was going through my mind the whole time was, how can I help him? How can I help him not see? Why,
you can't.
How can I help him not see
the abused,
that?
You know, the abused child can't. By the time you started doing that, you had multiple personalities. You had one that wanted to help him, one that's frightened.
Yeah.
One that's angry, one that's a boy, one that's this. You got another one that wants to love. I've seen that in the people I work with. Okay?
Yeah, I 31.
They will have what we, they would have a part that loved their dad that abused them.
I did.
And wanted a wonderful relationship with him. Okay? And so it brings a deep complexity to the healing because you have that unanswered question is, why? And they can't answer you why. Okay.
Yeah.
And when I got into ministry, I already knew the why because I did my studying. And I understood at a deeper level what was going on. So when I started to do healing with people, curses was one of the first things that we dealt with. Does Benny want to say anything or add any comment?
And this is what your last sentence was.
Okay. What I said was, typically in mental health counseling, the therapist already knows why. It might be a biological problem in the abuser. It's their childhood abuse. It's
right.
The way they were brought up. It was their culture. It was their religion, okay? But that doesn't bring healing to the patient, just knowing the why. That doesn't do it. In ministry, spiritual work, to be an effective, we'll call it healer, pastor, minister, I had to have already studied and I already knew the why. And my job was not to try to explain that when I'm trying to do work with the person. So one of the very first areas that we did was curses. We broke curses 10,000 generations. Okay, because curses were word curses, things that were spoken. They were familiar with the family. They were spiritual in nature, and they stayed within the family. And there were words, there were statements that were made. They were belief systems that people believed. So we would recognize.
Vinny, does any of that ring true with you at all?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Do you want to make a comment? So Deborah kind of knows what maybe she could talk about.
I'm relating to curse as to breaking the cycle of abuse.
Okay.
And you could a loaf of bread, if it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, it must be a duck. You know, and I understand that, because I heard parts of what my dad's childhood, and it wasn't very good, and it just carried on. And when Victoria and I first got together, that was the main thing, was stopping the cycle of abuse.
Okay.
And it still
is. In the two worlds of healing people, helping them to heal, after you're an adult now. There's the mental health way. They don't go back a lot. They might try to help explain some of the whys your abuser did what they did. But when I got into pastoral ministry, I recognized, we were taught, and I'd studied, how to help you break some things off of you that were attached. When the abuse occurs, it's a biological event. The five senses are involved, and things get sort of set in stone. Words, smells, colors, sounds, all kinds of things. But I also recognize that these, we'll call them bad things, are generational. And most of the people who do the abuse had it done to them. And you can probably go back thousands and thousands of years, and it just travels, okay? So we would break these up. We would take authority, I would, okay? And I would speak to certain words that were maybe said, to events, to conditions, to things like fear, to certain stuff, and I would speak to it and said, you're done. Okay, you're finished. You're not going any further, and you're going to pack your bags. I didn't say that. I'm trying to stay. No. And I learned that I had to speak with authority, not loud, but as a pastor, to the situation. I had to take command of the fear, command of the generational things that had happened. Because what we learned was that not only was I speaking to the person in the room or the chair, say like you guys, there were other things listening that I was speaking to. And I was trying to, and we were going to bring blessings. And where this came out of was the Bible, Deuteronomy 28, where you are either blessed in what you do, your life, your children, your food, or you're cursed. You know, things aren't good. So what I had to learn is, one, I have to deal with the curses, which could be word curses, biological curses, things that have traveled 10,000 generations. And in ministry, you do a lot of speaking. And you do a lot of to that fear that has traveled the generation. And anything behind it, you will go no farther. And I speak a blessing of peace. So I had to learn that there was something bad there, and I needed to replace it with words. If you understand
replace it with what?
Mental, huh?
Replace it with what?
other words.
Okay.
Okay. I'll show you in mental health counseling when you, if you ever study hypnotism, you know, they put you to sleep, you know, however they do it. And then they speak to your subconscious and they give you directions. Then they wake you up. Then they say when, you know, they, when you were unconscious, sort of, when you hear a bell or a whistle, you'll bark like a dog. You wake up, you don't remember anything. But a whistle goes off and you bark.
Right.
Okay, now you think about that. Now that's mm-hmm. taught. Hypnosis is taught and imagery is taught in mental health counseling. Mm-hmm. They know the mm-hmm. power of your thoughts, the power of what you imagine, how you create situations. They know the power of your feelings. Sometimes they would say, let's go back and relive that. But this time, instead of you being alone, let's imagine that you've got somebody there with you or something. Let's reimagine that situation. So they're having mm-hmm. you, they're giving you words to sort of reimagine, rebuild, destroy what happened, and try to recreate a different scenario in your mind, okay, because you're an adult mm-hmm. now. You're not a child, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that is normal in mental health counseling, hypnosis, imagery. But when you get into pastoral work, and I like to talk on both levels because some people choose pastors, mm-hmm. spiritual type mm-hmm. of work and things like that, which is another route to get healing, you know, prayer and that kind of thing. In spiritual work, we're gonna speak what is there. Let's say you got a lot of fear of dying. We're gonna speak to that fear. Is fear a, in spiritual work? It is an emotion. It is a real biological condition, neurochemical in your brain. It is also a spirit. So I had to learn a whole new language, whole new depth of helping people from a different viewpoint, so to speak, which was spiritual, and we would call a lot of this curses, word curses. And we would break those words. Maybe you would think, I'm not loved, and you were. And you believe that about yourself. Nobody would love me. You know, I'm abused. I'm tainted. I'm no good. I'm soiled. All those kind of words as a child. And you play that tape player over in your head all the time. It's in there, you know, and you can't get rid of it. So we had to come back in with other words and say, we erase those words. So we're sort of doing, we're telling you and instructing you, we're going to take out some stuff that you're believing, and we're going to replace it with good words. Like we would get you to say, I am blessed. I am healthy. I am loved. I am worthy. Okay? And so we had to do counteractions to what had happened. Are you there? Hello?
Vinny?
Yeah, I'm here. Uh-huh. We're here.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to just bring that up so when people are thinking about healing, okay, and they choose mm-hmm. to go to a pastor or something, these are some words or a different way of looking at it. So you guys can go ahead and, you know, comment and ask questions and go mm-hmm. right ahead.
Well, I really think it's interesting because I like in your bio where you say, you know, mind, body, and spirit. And I know a lot of people, you know, focus on the mind with the mental health and the body with physical ailments and stuff.
And that's all
come
important,
off. But
yes.
There's not a whole lot of people, say if you're not going to church or whatever, that really deal with the spiritual. I mean, it's because it's like nothing you can see. It's,
right.
It's just a whole different complex way to look at things. I mean, I know you've been describing that. And other people
right.
know that,
yes.
but there's other people that just don't know that there's like another level within us that's spiritual that
we
can
do,
be really damaged and broken.
Okay, we do, but we don't. Because if you look at the world, there is so much religion.
Yeah,
Islam.
Exactly.
Catholicism.
Mm-hmm.
Buddhism.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Taoism.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. There's all kind of animalism. All right. There's a lot of religion, which is spiritual. Okay. A lot of prayers, a lot of incense, praying. When you wish upon a star, when you blow out your candle on your birthday and you make a wish, that's spiritual. That has nothing to do with mental health work. And how
mm-hmm.
children are treated has a lot to do with a religion, parents, culture,
mm-hmm.
having babies, and we need all kinds of things. Now, in mental health counseling, the counselors, like I was, you don't have a class in how to study the lust of the flesh of a man who is lusting after and okay. Well, you don't study any of that. You don't study any of the deep things when somebody looks at pornography. Okay? Or why would they do this? You know, what's in them that would do this to a child? What's
mm-hmm.
driving them? That's not
yeah.
talked about. There's no classes. Okay? What you get is depression. We're going to deal with anxiety. There
yeah.
is no university class teaches you about the deep roots of why, because women do the same thing. They abuse their children. Why
oh,
abuse
yeah.
happens. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's no classes in it. So the
yeah.
mental health counselor, most of them have been abused,
mm-hmm.
and they have not gotten healing. And in a lot
yeah.
of pastoral work, most of your pastors have never taken classes in this, and they know nothing. And
mm-hmm.
they aren't taught it when they go to Bible school. And I was thrown in with the deepest spiritual, sexually abused people, multi-generational Satanists, heavy metal music singers, gang members, MS-13, people with multiple personalities, people that were lived a different life, served the enemy, had full of demonic stuff,
mm-hmm.
but yet they looked normal.
Mm-hmm.
They
Maybe you could
like
talk a little bit
kids.
About how you got into your ministry so that Vinnie kind of knows that little background.
Okay.
Because that's pretty interesting.
When I was,
yeah.
all right, it all begins when we're all young. I love people. Back in the 70s, for a female, about the only thing you could do was social work, nursing. My father was a psychology teacher, so I went more psychology. But I didn't want to work with the lab rats, so I sort of did counseling. Then in the state of Florida, they were grandfathering. There was a lot of people with master's degrees of psychology, social work, counseling, and they wanted to get paid from the insurance companies. So they had a grandfather period where you had to have your master's, that's 1 or 2 years after your 4 years of college, 2 years of supervision. I had mine under a PhD psychologist. You have to take a state licensing exam and make a certain score, then you'd get your license then. And we were under the Medical Quality Assurance Department, where the dentists were, the doctors, the nurse, okay? So we were medical people, and we were going to diagnose you medically. We had to do the DSM. And we were going to treat a medical disease that was our training. Then what happened was I started off in a rehabilitation hospital for people who were physically, I worked with head injury patients, spinal cord injury patients, people with strokes, amputations, burn, all kinds of just horrible issues. And I started seeing that they really needed comfort from a pastor, the chaplain of the hospital. And so slowly, we'll say God was drawing me more to that instead of the mental health world. And they had to change the job because the Paralyzed Vets of America wanted a PhD psychologist there, not a master's. So they had to let me go. And I chose to go into private practice as a Christian counselor. Didn't really do that well, so I went to work with a psychologist doing neuropsych testing, a social security disability, nursing home, my own clients. But that call, you know, to pray with people, to be with people, and to help in a different perspective with a deep level of comfort for them, kept calling me. And then I got out of that, and I wanted to be what you would call a Christian counselor, where you can pray with people, read the Bible to them. There was something on the radio. And there really wasn't any Christian counselors in the mental health world. So I wanted to do that. I wanted to do it at a church and, you know, have the church pay for me, and I would do it for free to the parishion. That didn't work out either, because God was taking everything away from me of mental health. And then I was at a church, and I got on their prayer team and their deliverance team. It was Brownsville Assembly of God. They were in a worldwide revival for 5 years. I sat in the sanctuary on Friday nights. I was responsible for praying over and solving, we'll call them, demonic manifestations of up to 10,000 people, me and the ushers, and I was the only voice. Saturday nights and other nights, I'd be in a room across the street, and I was learning how to cast out devils, which the church didn't believe in. So I'm sitting here, and like, this is not, I got none of this training. We got this lady from New Orleans, I think, or Baton Rouge, and she had been in multi-generational Satanism, been seeing a psychiatrist. They had some integration, but they thought they could come over here, and boy, were my eyes opened. Witches would show up, and they would start cursing and doing curses and spells. And I saw things that I thought, oh, I saw people that would, eyes changed to cats, and they started barking like dogs and slithering on the floor like a snake. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, if the mental health counselor world saw this, we need a straitjacket here. I mean, this was a whole eye-opener. And I stayed with it, and I read books. I read books, and I read true stories from Christians who work with these people. And God threw me in with the multi-generational hardcore Satanists. A whole clan named the Black Forest Clan came to Pensacola to take me out, kill me, whatever they could do, because all I was doing was praying for them. I knew they were on their way down, and they needed help. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know who they were. And I just cried. I'd go to a church, and when praise and worship would come, or prayer, I just cried for them. Not for me. I said, hey, I'm going up. I'm fine. But they weren't. Please send somebody. I don't know who they are, where they are. And God said, I'll send you. I said, sir, I don't know what to do. I don't know who they are. He says, I'll train you. Go read this book, go do this, do that, keep doing deliverance, learn how to pray with people, learn how, I took machetes off of people in church, I took guns away. I was a very tough person. I had no fear.
Pastor Deborah, we have, Philip just joined us too, so I just want to let you know you've got another person listening. Okay, great.
Okay. Hello, Philip.
My turn is my clear. Hold on.
Is Vinny still there?
Welcome to the show.
Hello,
yep, Vinny's still there.
How
all
are
the
you?
Mics are open right now.
Hi.
Okay. Vinny, did that help answer my question of how I got from mental health to being a pastor?
Oh, yes. Very much so.
Now, I can do, I'm a unique individual because I've been in both worlds. And I kept my license for a long time, and then God told me to put it down. I go, what? So then I didn't have a license, couldn't do professional mental health counseling, had no money, no job. But I studied. I would read 8 books at one time. I read some of the most horrible stories about the most worst kind of abuse you could ever imagine that people did to others and people had to do to themselves. It was, I had to stay quiet. I didn't talk to people because when you get into spiritual work and even mental health counseling, in the church, if I'm doing ministry with a choir through a traveling evangelist, a pastor's wife, a pastor's kid, we would get intimate with them in their personal knowledge. I knew stuff about their lives, their family's lives. So afterwards, if I saw them in the church, I never acknowledged them. I never said to them, oh, hi, how are you doing since deliverance? No, I kept my mouth shut. We never acknowledged that they were in there because this is private stuff. I dealt with death. I dealt with suicide. People would pass out and the bluish, if you've ever seen anybody, with death come over them, okay, and almost stop breathing, okay? Mm-hmm. I was there, and it was so intense. Then I went into the hospital here and learned how to be a house, pray with people. I was in the emergency room. I was with the people when they died, with their families, with the doctors. I put myself out there. I learned. I read. I went into intensive work to help people, and I had to learn how to keep my mouth. Didn't talk to anybody. Some of the stories I had to read were some of the most horriblest that you could imagine. I had to see that this was worldwide, in every religion, in every nation, everywhere. Oh, God. I had to understand human trafficking, sex trafficking, selling of children. I had to study ancient days, ancient history, and all of
these. So I have a question for you. I have a quick question for you. So if somebody came to you and said, okay, well, all those things didn't happen to me. I just had emotional or abuse or, you know, this just happened to me or it only happened once or twice. Would you say, no, I can't help you? Or how would you approach that? And why don't you let people know how they can get a hold of you if they'd like to? Because I know that there's probably people that could benefit.
Okay. Once I knew God was going to send me. Now, remember, I don't know. I said, am I going to get on an airplane and fly to Europe and help somebody? Am I going to get in a car and go? I didn't have an office. I didn't have your normal professional license anymore.
You didn't have a job either, did you?
Huh?
You didn't have a job.
Anybody.
At one point.
No.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't going to charge anybody. This is all going to be free. So what God said, that's all right. I'll send you. But I didn't know how I was going. I didn't know who I was going to be going to. But I knew that everybody that came into call me on the phone, I met in Walmart, and then did some work in the spirit. Anybody in church, everybody, almost 100% of humanity had been abused in some way, verbally, emotionally. It didn't matter. I was going to deal with spiritual issues with every person. So it didn't matter. And I would tell people, you can call me. I do a lot on LinkedIn. I do a lot on emails. I do prayers now. I do stuff in the spirit. I do things when I'm sleeping. And I might be walking up my stairs, and God says, go. I go, where am I going? So I'm off spiritually. So I had to study out-of-body experiences, astral projection. I had to study witchcraft, the occult. I had to study things that is not in mental health counseling.
So you can help all kinds of people.
I had to study blessing of houses, mm-hmm. blessings of the mm-hmm. land. Then
yeah.
God would bring to me an individual, mm-hmm. and we'd talk on the phone every single night. And I'm doing major, heavy-duty work with them mm-hmm. on the phone.
Right.
So,
right.
And so what happened was I knew God was in a hurry to help them because God knew they were a mess. And he
right.
has to trust you with broken people. And yeah. I had this one lady. Her name's Candy.
That's a blessing, isn't it? Isn't that a blessing? I mean, it's really still. I don't even know. I can't put it into words.
You are a soldier.
I feel when someone says, I can trust you, you know, I can trust you and tell you this, is, you know, because I know that you're not, you know, going to say
right.
anything or that, you know, whatever.
Well,
and it's a real blessing.
I couldn't talk to anybody.
Yeah, it's a blessing that somebody automatically knows that and just starts talking to you, like you said, in Walmart or wherever. You can, you know, these people just come to you and it's like, what is
it about
me? It
didn't matter where I went in life. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
The gym, it didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
They were hurting people
mm-hmm.
everywhere at all different levels.
I went to my art group today. I go to this Artworks, it's called. And I went there and I had been to a writing group last week and read one of my poems and told them it was Child Abuse Awareness and Prevention Month. And I had three people that come up and talk to me and told me that they were abused as children. And then today mm-hmm. I was working on a piece for Child Abuse Awareness Month. And Prevention Month, and I had this lady that came up and talked to me for the longest time, and said, kept saying,
okay.
thank you, and I didn't do anything, and finally I said, girl, why are you saying thank
well,
you
here's,
for
okay.
doing this
now
work,
listen.
And what I was doing was
okay,
my art piece,
listen.
I wasn't,
okay.
you know. Mm-hmm.
Victoria, listen, people mm-hmm. coming up to you and saying thank you, doesn't heal
mm-hmm.
anybody. When
no,
they say that,
doesn't.
You said, excuse me, let's pray. That's how I had to change, see. I had to learn that if they come up and talk to me, God wants to do some work in their life, and you do it through prayer, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I had to always live to be on alert. It was not about me. I'm in his ministry, which was so different than mental health counseling. Mental health counseling, you were there to make money. You were there to build a reputation.
Right.
You were there to, help people if you could, but you had to do a lot of continuing education, which I still do a lot of, you know, mental health. But it was a different, it was a whole different language. It was still healing people, and it was still helping people, but it was different. It was deeper.
Yeah.
And yet I could... I love the mental health community. I love my psychiatrist and psychologist. There's nothing wrong with taking medication, going to therapy, going to support groups. It's all valuable because the three parts of us, you know, you got a biological body. And if it is not healthy and you don't know how to eat and drink and exercise, you're going to have a mess. Your soul, which is neurochemical, electrical. There's a person in there that imagines, desires, he needs help. He's got a lot of wounds, fear. That's where the mental health works. But upon death, those two parts don't go anywhere. But there's an internal part that everybody always says, I hope they go up. Okay.
Yeah.
That they go on to a better place. Some want 72 virgins. Some want to be in paradise. But they all had this belief, even the Egyptians, that there was an afterlife. I worked with that part in the spiritual part. And I had to learn that the spiritual part, if you got it free, got it healed, that forever person, got it strong in spiritual truth and light, it would transfer that light and truth and healing to the soul. And the soul would start getting healed. But I also had to learn how to speak to the soul. That's what the curse is. Let the soul hear, I'm breaking that anger off of you, that fear. I'm replacing it with joy and peace, and that which has attached itself to you and has traveled the family lines and came in with the abuse, I tell you, I give you notice, you're out of here, sort of like dealing with infection. I had to have an authoritative voice. Sometimes I would just get you, like Victoria, to just say, Victoria, say this after me. I am blessed. Okay? You would say that. I say, now you be quiet and let me. That's right.
Yeah.
And I, as a soldier and a warrior spiritually, would rise up and speak to that which had been cursing you, whether it's your own thoughts, whether it was a multiplicity, you know, a part, a program. I was telling you about Miss Candy. She brought me on the telephone a little baby whimpering, which was a part of her, and she wanted me to clean it with cleansing water because it had some issues. There are deep parts of us that need to be cleaned, that need to be sort of rebirthed. And if you study other religions like incarnation, trying to get to nirvana, trying to get to something better than what we are, that's all spiritual work.
Right.
And I had to study other religions, ancient cultures, to see that humanity believes beyond death. And so, now, we weren't taught that in mental health counseling. And you weren't taught about what are the root causes of sexual perversion. What is lust of the eyes? What is lust of the flesh? What makes a man want to do this to a child? What is going on? What's happening with him? So I had to do deep.
Well, I like
deep,
a lot of things that you said about, you know, you know, I mean, a lot of people say, okay, well, don't be unhappy, you know, and but they don't, like, tell you how you can feel joy, or, you know, they don't say, you know, say you're powerful, or say, you know, I'm going to have a wonderful day or whatever. And, you know, some people always, you know, like, I woke up in the, would wake up in the morning and go out and talk to my neighbor, and she says, oh, boy, Victoria, every day you wake up and you're so happy. So I joke in LaRocca, man, you should see me before I come out on the porch. But
okay,
I do wake up like that
okay,
a lot.
Listen,
you know?
Victoria, listen. There is power in words. What you say to yourself, what others say to you, they're powerful. Words have life. They're containers, words, we had to learn, are containers of blessings or curses. They are seeds that will grow into a tree of bitterness, or a tree that produces beautiful, bountiful fruit for others. This was not taught in mental health counseling. So I had to learn fast, because God was trying to reach very seriously abused people who openly served Satan, who did horrible things I don't want to talk about because it would trigger everybody. It's beyond what you would believe and understand. And they, the horrible, they were born into it. And the abuses that they occurred even in the womb. And I had to understand that. This, that deep level of, we'll say, curses and blessings. Blessings aren't even taught in mental health counseling, how to speak good things to yourself to counteract your bad thoughts or feelings. And some people do that when they write in their journals, okay? But I had to learn that there were multiple personalities in there. Watch the movies. I had to learn that if I could get some goodness, some blessings, one part, it would start spreading, but you would have problems within yourself because some of the parts would be very strong. Mm-hmm. I had to understand curses, and they were they came in words. They were containers, and I had to learn how to break them off of people, out of their lives, and have them replaced with blessings, different words.
Let's see if Philip or Bill might have a comment. Yeah. Philip, do you have any? We haven't heard from you yet.
No, I don't have a comment.
No comment?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Vinny, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
You got any questions or comments? Yeah, you
well,
got
I'm
any questions or comments?
You know, I've been through therapy, and I feel like I'm a very spiritual person. So what's the cure? Is this like walking hand in hand, or is this I need to be more spiritual to help my mental health?
Okay. From the mental health perspective, they really don't believe in the spiritual. But they do, because most of them go to church. They believe there's an afterlife. They believe in God and stuff. But their profession, the license they carry, they're not allowed to bring that into the therapy. Now, there are certified Christian counselors or something, and they've been through some training. They can bring in some of that stuff, okay? But typically, even though the mental health therapist might believe in an afterlife, that you have a spirit, their education, their license they hold, the profession that they're in, that's not what they're to do. They are dealing with your mind, your biological mind, your neurons, your chemicals. That's why you get antidepressant medication, because your chemicals in your brain are not balanced. And you have a disease. Believe me, I was trained that when I talk to you in my office and I hear you say you've been sad, sort of depressed, you don't have any joy of life, you have the disease that the psychiatrist said is called depression, which means the chemicals in your brain are messed up. They are not balanced up. I get depressed some days. Some days I'm happy. I'm swinging, but I don't stay there. There's a balance, you know. We have dopamine comes in, adrenaline comes in, cortisol comes in. There's all kinds of hormones coming in. There's all kind of nerve activity going on. And in the mental health psychiatry world, we're dealing with the biological brain, okay? And they believe if we can get your chemicals and the neurons and everything balanced out, you'll be able to solve your problems, deal with your issues, go to work, have a life, raise your kids, and, you know, take your medicine. That's about where they are.
Halfway out or after.
And basically put on a fake smile.
Yes. But that's all. Mm. But they, truthfully, I was there. We believe that helps you, and it does. It helps your soul. But when you get into the spiritual work, you talk to any person who's really doing a lot of work spiritually, they'll tell you that area must be enlightened, healed, have light, have some kind of power source coming into it and out of it. Then that releases to your soul and then to your physical body. Spirit, then soul, then body. Mental health, it will go either from the biological body, you know, eat right, plenty of water, not too much alcohol, and that'll make you feel better. And in mental health work, they know if we can get you to balance out your life. Okay, it's all right, go play bingo, but don't do it 7 nights a week. Be balanced.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's okay to eat this. It's okay to, you know, we should all have a little bit of fear. You know, there's bad stuff happens out there. Okay. but don't get to the panic stage, okay? They do not know why you hear voices. They do not know if there's a brain problem causes you to hear voices, like your television talking to you,
mm-hmm.
or you yeah. just hear voices, or if mm-hmm. something's happened in there and they don't, I worked with them, all they know to do is up your medication and drug you
mm-hmm.
out. And that'll stop the voices. That's all they know. Because
mm-hmm.
they don't have the answers.
Right.
But yet, I mean, when I went and volunteered in the local crisis stabilization where the police would take people who were Baker Act them and stuff, the psychologist asked me, can you cast out devils? I go, yes, sir, no problem. I had a young, precious young black guy in there. He said, you know what my problem is? I go, no, sir, what is it? He said, I think I'm under attack spiritually. My parents do voodoo, which is normal for a lot of black communities, if you've ever studied all these things. He said, I don't want to do voodoo, and I think they are attacking me through that. Now, what would you do with that as a mental health psychiatrist? See, I know what to do. I can put some shield around that dude, and we can take some care of business in prayer. But the mental health counseling group, now this guy told me this right up front. That's why he thought he was there, because he's being attacked from his parents through voodoo. And if you understand voodoo, you're dealing with black arts, you're dealing with some evil, wicked spirits. Okay, what's a psychiatrist going to think about that? So you've got two worlds that collide a lot. And I had to recognize that typically, most of the people are not in your psychiatric hospitals most of the time. They're going to get you on medication and get you back out in society where the pastors are, where the community is, mm-hmm. where your support systems are.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was had to just, I saw it from both sides. It's all getting mental health work is important. Learning how to process your thinking, making better decisions, not to be so anxious and let, you know, things happen. But most counselors have never been trained in multiple personalities. They don't know. This one lady, I took them into my home. They live with me. A heavy duty.
So did Benny. He took me in. Benny married me.
Okay. So what happened was I saw these personalities. I saw these personalities right up front.
Vinny's my husband. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
go
let's
ahead.
Keep going. All right. So then they needed to have the official psychiatric diagnosis. Got to be, you know, got a broken leg, okay? Everything has a number. So this girl went to a psychologist, PhD, not a master's level, not a social worker, to get tested. Well, the system that was inside of her is going to protect itself. And I said, well, did you speak up and tell them you have multiple person? No. Well, why not? I have to protect myself. I can't let them know that's going on. Okay. And so the one that goes there has no problems. And I watched this up close and up front. I'll tell you, it's this young girl who was over 21 came to the church, went to the altar, and asked me to pray. She felt like she was suicidal, that she was going to kill her aunt or somebody she was living, and she needed help. So I said, all right. I asked her, do you want to live? Yes, okay. So I broke all those curses off, that assignment. Okay. And then she said she felt like she was under attack. Now, how do you explain it? I mean, I've had people say, I just feel like I got all negativity and negative stuff around me. Can you help me? Oh, God, that is no problem. Now, if you go to a mental health counselor and tell them you just feel like you got all this negative stuff around you, it just won't go away, this darkness. They don't know what to do. There's no training for that. But in spiritual work, but not. So this lady, I said, hey, let's just pray that anything that's not of God, you know, just get away from her.
Mm-hmm.
Leave, whatever, you know. Oh, a letter came to the church and said I prayed against Mother Mary. I never mentioned her name, but something was there called Mother Mary. I lived in a world still there that is unseen, that is more real and more powerful than the mental health world. Love the mental health counselors. We need a balanced mind. We need people thinking calm. We need you calm. We need you working, you know, doing things. And the medication helps that. And then you can get down into the deeper stuff. When I worked with the sexual response team in the community, they're all Christians or they're all believers and they've been to things with Allah and the mosque. Okay, they're all there. They believe in that immortal afterlife. Okay, they're all praying. They just came out of Ramadan. The world is spiritual. The world is praying to other gods, you know, and stuff like that, and praying for them. But when you have been abused, you get in the system with psychiatrists, medication, mental health counseling. Because most pastors, whether they're an imam or a teacher, they do not get this training. They don't have classes in it. They don't have the victorious going into their Bible studies and talking about advocacy. They don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not there for, you know, some of them don't even believe this stuff happened. Okay.
Yeah. Well, the thing is like therapists, I've talked to a lot of people that, you know, have went to therapists or even churches and different things and not gotten the help because, like as you talk about, you understand the child abuse stuff. And just because somebody, say, has a degree or whatever you want to call it in therapy or even is a minister or whatever, doesn't mean that they know about child abuse. So now they're calling it trauma-informed. In my opinion, I think we have to throw that out the window, and they need to say trauma-educated.
Well, here's what I did. Went in our state of Florida. If you want to adopt a child, you have to go through 6 or 8 weeks of classes. I got permission to sit in there. I wanted to hear what these adults were going to hear about these children who were abused.
Yeah.
Okay. I went in when there was, I used to teach court-ordered parenting classes to parents who had been abused their kids.
Yeah.
I also would sit in to court-ordered parenting classes. The parents don't know the very beginning of child development. Okay? A lot of them got pregnant as soon as they could get pregnant. They grew up in horrible homes themselves. Some of them want a baby to get food stamps, WIC, free housing. Other people have the babies to sell them to human traffickers to make money. Okay? Now, where does all of that come from? So I have to study religions. I have to study culture. I have to study business. I have to study human trafficking and brothels and prostitution. I have to study gangs. I have to study why you would sell people and children. I have to study. I had to go to some state things about child pornography, men with men. Okay? I had to study all that. I sat in with the LGBTQI board of directors, and I sat in with the transgenders. I got to know them. I got to listen to them. I went to their support groups. I saw their pain. Okay, military people. Most pastors, mental health counselors don't do that, and they're trying to help
really
solve very. They're trying to help solve very deep problems these people are having, okay? And children are starting, you get pregnant, you want a boy, you get a girl. Mom's devastated. You want a girl, you get a boy. It's devastation. You get out of wedlock. Parents take it. They go to orphanages. It's horrible, the abuse. So I had to study history, child abuse in every culture, every religion. This was, you know, this what? You didn't study any of that in mental health counseling. You studied child development, okay, what a child needs, but you didn't study child abuse. You didn't have any advocacy classes, how to go to
no.
the community. You didn't have anything
mm-hmm.
about human trafficking, sex trafficking,
no.
pornography, child pornography.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have any of that. Didn't have anything about having multiple personalities, drug use,
mm-hmm.
or drug and they didn't have it. And yet we
no,
were put out there because we were a medical person under the psychiatry who ruled it under the World Health Organization, so I had to study that.
Mm-hmm.
So God, with all that knowledge, God said, I won't waste any of that. And then just as in depth as that, I studied the spiritual part. I went into
mm-hmm.
the black arts, the occult, multi-generation,
mm-hmm.
the Illuminati, the Brotherhood, worldwide stuff that people don't want to talk about, okay, that
mm-hmm.
can rule, but does the world order. I had to study deep spiritual stuff that most people don't even talk about, and I couldn't talk to anybody. But I knew God wanted to help these people, because they were going in the wrong direction. So I would pray. Some days I'll just listen to a song, one of the great songs. If you want to hear the heart of Jesus Christ, you go listen to the Hollies play, He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother. And you'll see him crying and singing that song to himself from the cross. You want to hear about other things, about how this is an impossible, but yet it's going to take soldiers to do it. I never had that in mental health. You were just a professional. You got your license.
Mm-hmm.
You had a wonderful life, you know. And yeah, well, so questions, comments, go ahead, anybody.
Well, we lost
no,
a lot. Well, we didn't lose. You hung up. Benny, do you have any specific questions you want to ask? We were got about 8 minutes left.
No, I'm good.
All right.
Did you hear that?
Let me get back to the topic. The topic
mm-hmm.
was...
So wait, I do have a question.
Okay.
So how do you become more spiritual?
Okay. The very first thing that you would do is you would pray and say, I need to be more enlightened, have more knowledge and truth. Now, in any religion, they would tell you, pray more, study more, write them out more. Okay? Didn't matter. Okay? In Christianity, you read the Bible. You go slow. You get the dictionary, the Strong's Concordance. You look up every word. What does the word prayer mean in Hebrew and Greek? What does the word God mean? You look up words. Okay? And then you tell God that awaken my spirit. This one lady who I was working with, she had gotten surgery when she was about 5 years old, and they told her to go to sleep. She did. She realized she's now 60-something years old, and her spirit was not awake. I said, well, take the blanket off and tell it to wake up. Sometimes your spirit is asleep. It's in a trance, and it needs to wake up. You can tell it to wake up. God will help you. It might do it in your dreams. Then you read the book, whatever book, religion or something, you read. You write out scriptures. You study. You can go to Bible studies or whatever, you know. You look up words. You watch videos. You watch there's plenty of movies about, if you want to study Confucius, who was Buddha? They're all out there on YouTube. You got to study, 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 research, study. You got to be a student, and you got to and you study spirituality, and you study the afterlife. Go back, study the Egyptians. They believed the Egyptian pharaoh was going to go in the underworld and fight the demons to protect the nation. Humanity has believed in spirituality, the afterlife, demons, gods, forever.
Right.
It just got lost.
So there's
rationality.
So there's no quick fix? There's no 5-minute fix here?
No. And what happened when science came in, the microscope, and rationality mm-hmm. came in, spirituality went out the door. That superstition
yeah.
now to believe that this could be a spiritual problem. And curses are a part of that. It's not, okay. And medicine and rationality took over, okay? And there, I did a great article. I made a video. It's called Equal Partners Between Mental Health and Spirituality. If you go and study how for years in mental institution they do trepanning, they knew there was some evil stuff in there. They don't know how to get it out because they're in rational Western thinking. So they'd cut a hole in the brain to let the bad fumes out. They
I've
knew there was
left
bad
here, so I want you to let people know you've got some videos out there that they can listen
yeah,
to.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And
so
you want to
tell
people about that?
Called the Hidden Kingdoms. And I have a website which everything's on the www.agapeloveishere.org. So what happens? Spirituality
took
a back.
Wait, could you say that again, please?
All right,
yeah,
the Hidden Kingdoms.
Good.
All right, the Hidden Kingdoms on YouTube. That'll be me, Pastor Deborah. Then there's a website, and it's www.agapeloveishere.org. What happened is spirituality took a back seat when rationality and Western medical science came into the world.
Yeah.
Looking under the microscope. And remember how, and so spirituality wasn't a spiritual problem anymore. It was a biological. Yes, there are biological problems. There are biological chemical problems. There's brain injuries. We know that. And what happened is spirituality became, you're superstitious. You're not rational. If you believe and are going to deal with this problem this way, and all of the problems of child abuse, oh, they're not spiritual in nature. There's nothing to do with that. There's no curses. It's just they don't really tell you. Okay? They don't tell you why, except it's business. We're going to sell kids. It's business. Okay? Why your dad does this? Well, he's got some issues. Well, what's that? They don't know. So I'll be quiet now. I know you got to close us out, Ms. Victoria.
Yeah, well, thank you
and
very,
I'll
very
see you
much.
Next month.
And, yeah.
And then you can call me.
Month.
Victoria knows my number and my email address.
You
yeah. Okay, well, thanks, Pastor Deborah, and thanks for all our listeners. And I'm going to quick play the music. We are out of time. Come back soon.
Log Talk Radio. We'll be right back.